Right. I promise you, today is going to be a different day. So let's just get right into it. The word of the Father, Son, and Spirit to you and to me and to us collectively today, to the world, really, is I am the bread of life. This is a quotation from Jesus. He said it numerous times along with a few other I ams. I am the gate. I am the door. You know, that's the same as the gate. I'm the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I am the vine. So it's John that speaks primarily of the I ams of Jesus Christ. But the first one that he says here is, I am the bread of life. Today we're going to talk a little bit about that. So I'd like to read John chapter 6, or at least some excerpts from John chapter 6, and then an excerpt from Ephesians, and then we'll see what the Lord is wanting to say to us today. So John chapter 6, I don't have anything up front. I just want you to hear it. If you got scriptures with you, you can certainly feel free to turn to them. I think I'm going to begin in verse 26. John 6, verse 26. Now, the context is kind of where I preached last time, and that is Jesus has fed the 5,000 men plus women and children, multitudes of people. You all know about that miracle by now, the fish and loaves, and then the fragments being left over. All right, so that's the immediate context as we come to verse 26, and I'm going to read through verse 51 and then turn to Ephesians for a few verses. Jesus answered them and said, truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, not because you saw things pointing to something else, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him, the Father, God, has set his seal. Therefore, they said to him, what shall we do so that we may work the works of God? We're always looking to do something. I mean, we are. It's just in our nature. That's part of the sin problem, is always wanting to do something for God or get into a relationship with him. And so Jesus corrects him right here in verse 29. Jesus answered and said to them, these are good Jews, always looking for works. This is the work, singular, of God. This is the energy, energeo in Greek, that you believe in him whom he has sent. There's no religion you can do to get God to come. By the time you ask the question, he's already in your face. And more deeply so, he's already in your humanity, your fallen humanity. So we really got to always step back and think of the real context. The context is more than the words. Here, the Son of God is already man, and in our broken flesh, it says that the primary work is to believe in him. So verse 30, so they said to him, what then do you do for a sign so that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread out of heaven to eat. Jesus then said to them, truly, truly, I say to you. So in the tradition of those who taught in that day, if he says, truly, truly, I say to you, he's saying, hey, forget what you've heard. I'm the authority here. That's in essence how this is coming across. It is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. So whatever Jesus means by himself being bread and being sent by the Father to us means something that's being done to the world, that's given to the world, not to a select amount of people. So this helps qualify even the believing part. Certainly the believing part is important, but regardless of whether they believe, the world, you, I, everyone gets him, the bread sent from heaven. Verse 34, then they said to him, they're missing it, they're just as confused, Lord, always give us this bread. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. So again, I want you to step back. So who has God given himself to? Well, you've got to get back beyond the words and look at the Son of God in our humanity. And what we have to clearly say with that understanding is that he's given himself to everyone. So even though he's saying you've got to believe, he says, you know, believe, who believes in me has eternal life. He says, even without words in his own human body, that he has given himself to our humanity. And again, when I say this about, if I was to say that about you, that you gave yourself for someone else's life and humanity, that wouldn't really mean very much. You know why? Because you are not the creator and sustainer of all things, but in one and the same person with Jesus, you're always dealing with the person who created and sustains every single person, but only now he's doing it from within our broken humanity. So, verse 40. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. And then verses 41 through 51. Therefore the Jews were grumbling about him, because he said, I am the bread that came down out of heaven. They were saying, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down out of heaven? You see the kind of brilliance we have as human beings? We put on our little sinful fallen glasses. Jesus tells us who he is and who we are in him. And we're always, with our brainiac ways, saying things like, who are you? We know who you are. You're the Joseph's your father and Mary's your mother. That's who you really are. He tells us that he's the bread, and we put on our sin glasses again. Well, we don't have to put them on there already on. And we say, please give us this bread, when he's already told us he's given us himself as the bread. So today I'm going to kind of use these as an analogy. You're going to see, look, we're going somewhere today. Hang on there. Okay, I can't read with these things. You know what I'm saying? It's quite an accomplishment. I used to be able to read the Bible with these kind of glasses on, and it made sense. Now it doesn't anymore. All right, verse 43. Jesus answered and said to them, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. Now, an important key about this word draw is something we often didn't emphasize in the past, because if there's anything I memorized and heard over and over again in my growing up in WCG was this, John 6:44 and in verse 65, I think, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. But this word draws in Greek is the word that means drag, or that there's resistance always in every case. So it doesn't mean even so much winning you. It does mean winning you, but it always means against resistance. So it's more or less the word drag, because it's the same word used for Peter and John being dragged to jail. When they were proclaiming Jesus, they literally dragged them, and this is that same word. So it could be, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me drags him or her. And this should make sense with what we've read so far, because Jesus is telling them to believe in him. And then it says in the next sentence, but you don't believe in me. So right when you're getting ready to say, all right, I believe in you, Jesus, I'll make my way, Jesus condemns you by saying, you know, you don't believe in me. And really it says in one place in John that he didn't entrust himself to anyone, because he knew what was in man. So this has got to make you back off already when you go in these passages. And yeah, believing is important, but who really believes besides Jesus? No, I mean really believes besides Jesus. I'm going to give you a little story today. Verse 46, verse 45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, oh, damn, let me back over. He says, not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. So these Jews, even some of us, we think we know who the Father really is, but Jesus is clear here. No one has seen the Father. No one knows the Father really, truly, except Jesus Christ. Verse 47, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I give for the life of the world is my flesh. That's key. And we need to elaborate on that. The bread, I'll read it one more time. The bread also which I will give for the life of the world, for the life of the cosmos. The cosmos is going to live. And how is it going to live? Through the bread. And who is the bread? Jesus Christ. And how did he share that bread with us? By becoming flesh. Sarks. The sinful stuff you and I are caring about right now. Don't think of any supreme kind of flesh. He's got the flesh of his mama Mary, and in that flesh, you and I are going to be given and have been given the bread of life. All right, now let me turn to something that I think, if you're really being open and honest, is kind of confusing at first. And I'm going to turn to Ephesians chapter 4, because what I've done is I go through the lectionary. So the church has, over time, put together the common lectionary, whereby they take four scriptures, which really all tie together. It's really a tremendous thing. I know the Holy Spirit inspired it, because it's awesome. But sometimes you got to do a little digging to be able to understand how they fit together. And that happened this past week. So chapter 4, verse 25, I'd like to begin there and read through chapter 5, verse 2. So Paul writes, therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with the one who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. The title again today is, I am the bread of life, Jesus. Let's pray. Father, help us through your Son Jesus and the Spirit to receive the truth of who you are and our identity in you. We've got a pair of glasses on that have been shaped by our misperceptions, by the temptations given to us by the enemy, and there is just no way, apart from your own vision, apart from you standing in for us with your vision, that we can see and understand clearly your good news. So we just ask for your help humbly, and we give you thanks that you have a desire and have at least made us willing to yet hear you more clearly. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, we do pray and give you thanks. Amen. So this was puzzling to me, because what I literally do each week is I take the scriptures of the lectionary and I start from left to right. So I began in 1 Kings, and there Elijah, Jezebel is upset at him. And so she's chasing him down. He knows she's serious. When she says she'll kill you, she will kill you. So he's not joking to try to get up and get out of there. But he gets into despair because of that. And so he goes and sits under a broom tree or a juniper tree. And he's tired. You know how it is when you get exhausted and so forth. You begin to get negative and so forth. So he says, oh, Lord, I don't even want to live any longer. I want to die. And he's so exhausted that he literally just falls asleep. But when he wakes up, he still needs some attention. So the Lord sends him an angel and gives him some care, gives him some hot cakes and cooks it on like this little stove of stones besides him. He eats that. But he has to sleep again. He is that exhausted. So he falls asleep again, and the angel again wakes him up and gives him food, this time that will last for 40 days. Kind of symbolic of Jesus to come. He's symbolic of Moses and Elijah being the true great prophets in the Old Testament. It was easy for me to see, scripturally speaking, as a pastor, oh, I can see what's happening here. So you keep getting all this physical food and so forth, and even though it comes from angels and you can go for 40 days, you're still going to die. Elijah's dead right now. So this is pointing me to Jesus Christ somehow. I can see that he's the bread of life, and I'm going to be able to live eternally with him. I see it more as a spiritual matter, and I can't just get all focused on the physical things. Well, that's in part is true. Then I moved to the Psalms, and it said basically, taste and see that the Lord is good. All right, so then that tells me right there, yeah, see, this is just going to take me to the Lord, that the Lord is the bread of life. It's not all about this physical stuff again. It's about the spiritual stuff. And then I come to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through and 5, verse 2, and I see no connection at all at first. Did you? I mean, all Paul says, basically, don't be angry, sin not, don't steal, all this kind of stuff. He says nothing about eating. It's the only one of the four that says nothing about eating or anything that has to do with taking Jesus in as the bread of life. So it's kind of stymied me at first. I was like, man, they missed it on this one. But then as I began to pray about it and go back and forth, the Holy Spirit, man, said to me, Tim, remember July the 3rd and July the 4th of 2012. Wow. Then Ephesians chapter 4 hit me like a ton of bricks. So basically, today is confession day. You ever want to know what goes on in a pastor's house, how a pastor lives, the things a pastor must do? Yes, I know you do. So I'm going to tell you anyway. But let me back up in the light of John, in the context of who Jesus was talking to, and put ourselves in that place and say that somehow what Jesus is primarily saying to us today, when he comes at you with, I am the bread of life, that's really a little shocking at first. Because what he's saying is that somehow it's possible to be very hungry, then to have all that you want to eat, because he just fed all those people. It's possible to be hungry, to eat until you're satisfied, and yet still be starving. All right, so there is a spiritual aspect that does need to be considered. And after everyone has been fed with fragments and there's fragments left over, and Jesus still remains there as the God who can perform another miracle another day if he wants to, when they ask Jesus about bread again or come to him, he just calls them out. Y'all are just here for physical food. You really don't want me. You really don't believe anything I say. But I want to tell you, no, you're not getting any more miracles like that. I am the bread of life. And in essence, if I boil down all those scriptures, this is my way of putting it, you just want physical food, but I tell you, don't work for the food that perishes. In fact, don't do much work at all. Believe in me, because I'm the bread of the world sent from my Father to the world. I'm the bread of life, and I've been sent by my Father to be the bread of life. I'm it. And so if Jesus then strictly speaking isn't himself alone the bread of life, because if his Father sent him and he says my Father, and we know later on in John and just from what we know in our Christian faith that he's united with Father and with Holy Spirit. So really what Jesus is trying to do for us is not really give us instructions, but saying this relationship that's been unfeigned and unrestrained and free and liberating and flourishing and thriving from the foundation of the world is yours, because the Father has given it to you in me. I live in your flesh, and the very relationship I've shared with the Father from all eternity is now yours. And you keep wanting all this other food, and can't you see how broke you are? That you really do need some other kind of food, because this other food ain't getting it. You're resisting me. You're rejecting me. I call on you to believe, but you don't believe. But here I am anyway, the bread of life. I've come to share our relationship with you and to draw you to us. And remember the word drag, to drag you to us, because you ain't coming if it's up to you. If it's up to me to give you a few instructions as to what to do, then it's never going to happen, because you're never going to follow the instructions. You don't like me that much. And I declare to you that I am the bread of life, and whoever believes in and eats of me has eternal life. I thought that was interesting. He says, whoever eats and believes in me and eats of me has eternal life. He doesn't say, whoever eats and believes in me gets eternal life. That's significant. And I saw that, oh man, he was forcing me to wrestle with this different, because still you can come in here with a mindset and based off of where we've come from, always trying to do our works and do things our way and wear our little funky sin glasses. We always want to think he's telling us to do something. And then if we go to Ephesians, then we really seem to have a justification to think that he wants us to do something. But again, I ask you, who really believes in Jesus except Jesus? It's a question you've got to answer, and the gospel does answer for us, but I put it to you today. Today, I believe the Holy Spirit wants us to hear this more as a declaration than as an invitation. Because you could think, based off all the things we've read and heard so far, that there's something for you to do. If you'll just receive Jesus a little more, then he'll be pleased and happy, and you can get a little bit more of him. And there's an aspect to that which is obviously true. This is what communion's all about, to some degree. And we can literally participate in Jesus. He's not the bread, but it's a symbol sign pointing to him that he really is with us right now in our sin. And there's something for us to do, to come forward. We just don't think about doing it. We actually participate in the sign, but it's a sign. And today the Holy Spirit wants you to hear this as a declaration and a done deal. So what the Holy Spirit inspired me to remember was July 3rd and 4th. So I'm basically going to tell you a story to help you really get the point that I believe the Holy Spirit is trying to make today. Maybe on another day, there will be instructions for you out of that passage. But today, I believe you to receive it as a declaration, simply as Jesus says it. I am the bread of life. Not I'll be it if you want me to be, and if you'll believe, and if you'll read and trust me, then I'll be the bread of life. No. And our mind quickly goes there whenever we hear believe and that kind of stuff. So the Holy Spirit has another word today. And here's how it all began. As I look back on the calendar, July 4th, I went and looked it up. July 4th was on a Wednesday. But what I remember is that the fireworks actually began in my house on July the 3rd. That's a Tuesday. And I want to tell you a little bit about this story, because this is how I was really able to relate with what I believe Jesus is really deeply, fundamentally, truly saying to you and I. And so I come home I usually normally cook meals on Monday in our home. I cook everything from spaghetti to spaghetti. And sometimes I'll vary it up and do spaghetti. No, actually, I do a little bit more than that. So, but this particular Monday, I didn't get to do it. So I decided I did it on Tuesday. So Donna gets home from work. She's tired. She's glad, though, to be home, because Wednesday she's going to be off from work. And we're going to have a great 4th of July. We're going to have fireworks tomorrow. She got this wonderful meal. I told her about some things I wanted her to fix and so forth. So I know that she's getting home very soon. So I said, I'm going to go out and kind of time this right. I'll go get the stuff. I didn't know what I was going to get that at night. I just knew it wasn't going to be spaghetti that night. It's going to be something special with the day before fireworks. Okay, so I go out and I get pizza, and for some reason it strikes me to get pizza and chicken and salad. Oh, yummy. That's what was on my mind that night. Popeyes, and so I went and got this, hot Popeyes, and then I saw this pizza that was on sale at Walmart the last time I've been there, and I mean, it was a delicious one. So I went and got that, and I brought all that home, and sure enough, Donna was there when I got there, and I'm happy, man. I'm like, all right, I'm going to fix a supper here like normal. So I turn on the stove, and I put in the pizza, and I decide to go upstairs for just a little bit, and come back down, because that pizza's got to get warm up. And I come down, and what do I run into? But there's Autumn sitting at our little bar in the kitchen, and she's fixing her little meal, let's fix, and it's different than those two things. She's not picking out of the chicken or the pizza. Pizza's not even cooked yet, but she's got her little tuna fish salad sandwich and stuff she's making. I have to say I was a little disturbed by it. I'm like, because Autumn sometimes has a habit of eating before we eat. So therefore, she's not able to really eat and sit with us, because we always pretty much sit around the table and talk. But when she's not hungry, if she's eating something too close to supper, then she won't feel like supper. And I didn't like that. So I questioned her about it. I said, what are you doing? And she said, I'm fixing me a sandwich. And I said, but can't you see the pizza that I've got right here and the Popeyes and the salad? She said, oh, but that's going to mess with my diet. And I can only eat so many calories and so forth. So I'm going to eat this. I said, oh, okay, all right, all right. Because I'm grateful, actually. She's a She takes care of herself, and I'm grateful for that. So I let her off the hook a little bit. So it wasn't quite, things weren't quite ready. So I went back upstairs, and I came back down when I thought they were ready again, and there's Donna eating the Popeye's chicken. You know, but now, all right, first that didn't strike me too bad, because, you know, sometimes I'll get hungry and eat a little piece of something before it's actually fully fixed. But, I mean, but Donna's chowing down on two pieces. She said one. Okay, I'll leave that to her. All right, the one big piece that looked like two. So I said, what are you doing? If I saw your little dude, she said, oh, you know, I'm eating. I'm hungry, you know. I said, okay, all right. This is one. We're going to make it through this. So I put the pizza in the oven and everything's all right. So I go upstairs because, you know, it's got to cook. So I come back down, set my watch, come down at the right time, and it's a ghost town down in the kitchen. And the door to the basement is open. And I'm like, wait a minute. See, it's rare for them to go in the basement. I'm usually down in the basement. I kind of work down there, especially to do my sermons and so forth. I can stretch and walk. And up in my office, I can basically only sit. So anyway, they're down there. The food is ready. So I decide, okay, they're down there. That's obvious with the door being open. So I'm going to fix the food for them. So I fixed the food, and I decided to go on downstairs and see if Donna was going to eat, because I already let all of them off the hook. So they're back watching TV, all comfied up in a blanket and so forth. So I said, are you coming to eat? Everything's ready. And Donna said, I don't want to eat. I've already eaten enough. Whew, she shouldn't have said that, folks. All of a sudden, my exclusion glasses are coming on. I am not feeling the love. We always sit down. We got fireworks coming tomorrow. I'm going to do the supper tonight. This is a special night. We're going to be able to rest and chill and watch a movie and all this kind of good stuff we want to do. And now nobody wants to eat the supper that I went out so hard to fix. All right, so I'm mad now when she says that. And so actually what I start doing is I start cursing. I said, what the beep are you talking about? And then she says something that really made me go off. She said, but you think you bought pizza and chicken. And then I just went through the roof. Beep, beep, beep. I don't know what the beep you guys are talking about, but beep, 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 beep. Look, I don't even know where that, well, I know where it came from. You know that nature well. You do it too. But I kid you not, I went, I was mad. So they were trying to say stuff. And I said, I don't want to hear you. Beep, it worked. Beep, beep, beep. And I went around and went upstairs, beep, beep, beep. Y'all remember that day? Unforgettable. All right, so there I am. I'm lost now. I mean, I got the glasses on. They're eating. They've eaten already. They're full. But now, because of just what went happening, they're starving. They're starving. And now something has blown up. Dad has blown up. And he's upset. And not only have I blown up, but look, I'm ready to take every dish in the house and throw it and break it. Have you ever felt like that? I'm being real with you. I'm serious. I would take something. I'd take a cup. And I was about ready to throw it down. And I, to this moment, other than the Holy Spirit, I don't have a reason why I did not do it. I mean, I felt it so strong that I don't know how. Looking back, I can only say the Holy Spirit did it, that Jesus is the bread of life and somehow lives in our human nature in such a way. I didn't do it. But then I had to pick up a few dishes because I was going to eat. I was going to eat even if they didn't. So I sat down, I got everything ready, and I stood up again. Oh, I want to go break that basement door. All right, I'm just being real with you too. I wanted to go kick it. And I went over, and I almost did, but I didn't kick it. I was like, whoo, no, Tim, you got to calm down. You got to calm down. Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. So I sat down, got my meal together, and I began to eat because I was hungry. Even though I was mad, I was hungry. And then I decided, oh, yeah, okay. They don't want to eat the food, then I'm going to eat it. And I'm going to eat all of it. I'm going to eat as much of it as I can. I bet you they ain't going to have none later. they done ate their food now. So I start eating, and I'm just mad. I'm mad. I'm getting full. But as you can probably sense, I'm still just starving because now I've blown up. Now the next, it can't possibly go well from this point on unless something drastic happens, because I'm just mad and I'm too mad. And then I'm able to think of other things that make me, they make that situation even worse. Yeah, I remember when they did this and when that happened too. In fact, when I think about this is adding up, this is a habit pattern, you know. But I magnified it with my magnifying glasses to where I was hot. Now I'm sitting there eating. I'm beginning to calm down because the food is filling me up. And all of a sudden, I say, oh boy, I have blown it. That was a little too radical for pizza and chicken. Because the words that just came out of my mouth, but then something else came back to me. I was like, wait a minute. But they, no, they not going to get off the hook this easy. I am not forgiven this soon and this easy. All that work I went through. My house is going to eat with me from now on, that kind of a thing. So then I kept wrestling back and forth, but no, oh no, what am I going to do? So now they're in the basement. I'd rather go in the basement because that's where I pray and so forth. And I don't want to face them right now because I think I'm going to go off. I will throw something if I see any one of them right now. This is the truth. I am not stretching anything. Now, I want you to think back right now, just so you're following with me, that I'm not just telling you a story. I'm telling you Ephesians chapter 4. This is what the Holy Spirit reminded me of. Think about what I've said so far. Anger. Be angry, but sin not. Oh, whoa. I was sinning now. And don't give the devil an opportunity. I couldn't help it. I gave him every opportunity pretty much that he wanted because I was determined to be mad. I was feeling, see, this is to not be included and to not feel included really is a dangerous thing. Because we're so filled with the life of the Father, Son, and Spirit, when we get any sense that we don't belong, it begins to do damage to our soul, begins to distort our mind and our thoughts. Now, Jesus says to us in the middle of that, I am the bread of life, and he began to calm me down. He said, look, Tim, look, I'm with you. This is not that bad. And I would just go back and forth. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is. He'd say, no, it's not. Oh, yes, it is. You know what they do. You know that this ain't right. Oh, no, Tim, it's okay. They're my children. You're my son. All is well. You all live in me. But I couldn't take it, so let me keep on with the story. And remember, you know, he says, don't let any, you know, only speak those things which are edifying to others. Me, I was a bunch of beeping that day. Beep, beep, beep. That's not too much edification when you're talking to your wife and your daughter. Okay, Richard gets it. All right, so he's beginning to win me. He's the bread of life, and I realize that, man, this is not going to be good, but I'm not ready to give in, so I'm just going to go up to my room, maybe watch some TV, read, just kind of try and calm down. So I watched some TV, and I was really happy when a knock came on my door. Knock came on, tick, tick, tick. And sure enough, Autumn opens the door. I say, come on in. It's Autumn. And I'm beginning to soften up a little bit right now. Glad to see right now. I could tell by her expression and her feel that she was saddened by what happened, probably shocked. Is that the first time you ever saw me blow up? Oops. It's not the first time she ever saw me get mad. She's never heard me curse at her before like that. All right, moving on. You see what the first part of that scripture said? It says, do not lie to your neighbor. And she's calling me out right here in church. So she asked me, Dad, how you doing? I said, I'm all right. It's okay. She was like, okay. I forget all the rest of the conversation, but basically I said, everything's all right. And I think she felt a little bit better and she left out. But the more I got there, when she left out of there, that got me thinking again, man, she's one of them that was my enemies today. She ate that food. I just could not get shaken. So now I'm wanting to get in the basement, and I know that time is Donna's going to get in bed out of habit. She's going to want to come up and get into bed at some point. And I'm wondering how I'm going to get in the basement and she's going to get in the bedroom without us passing each other. Because I am not ready to do it. I'm going to go off. And I got to tell you, to this moment. This, I don't know how we did it, but somehow it worked out. I got down in the basement. She got upstairs and I did not have to see him. I think maybe I went to the living room, hid behind our little barrier there. They came up. I couldn't see them. They couldn't see me. And then I went down the basement. Woo! And we made it. So I'm down there. And of course, Jesus is the bread of life. And he's talking to me, just saying, look, I'm yours and she's yours. She's mine. You're mine and she's mine. And they're mine. Come on. Just get it over with and just apologize. All will be well. But I tell you, no matter how much I tried, I could not do it that night. So the scripture says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. But it was going down on my wrath. Now, see, here's what I'm trying to say. We always have these, we love instructions. But I mean, which of us really, truly can deeply really follow them? See, because I'd have to say that even though I believe fundamentally it was the Holy Spirit that kept me from throwing those dishes and breaking in and kicking those doors, I'd have to say there was a more self-centered reason as to why it happened. It was because I like to eat. And if I break all those dishes, I can't eat on none of them the next morning. And if I break that door, guess who's going to have to pay for it? See, I'm even in my dumbness, I'm that smart. That if I mess this up, I'm the one that's going to have to pay even worse. And I'm so self-centered, I'm not willing to pay the price for my own stupidity in this case. So I'm down in the basement. That night, we go to bed angry. Now you wake up the next day, and you know you got to face them again. I actually did have the courage in Christ, the bread of life. I moved up and went upstairs and actually slept there. Slept in my own bed. But boy, Donna gets up really early. And surprises me, actually, because I'm like, how are we going to make it through this day? Because this is supposed to be 4th of July. They're going to have fireworks. We're supposed to have good stuff to eat. All right, so somehow I made it back down in the basement so I could pray and talk without seeing her and so forth. And I begin to smell food, and it smells good. It smells delicious and so forth. So it sounds like she's cooking. All right, so I said, wow. I mean, all right, so she's, man, that's some kindness there. See, so obviously there's a little forgiveness. And remember, this scripture says forgive one another. But I'm still a little upset and trying to get through this. So I'm sitting on the couch, and my good friend, my little friend, Joey Harris, sends me a Voxer message. Voxer's a little application. He says something like, hey, Pastor Tim. He's getting back with me from like the day before or something. Hey, Pastor Tim, how you doing, man? We're having this great day at a picnic. I mean, I don't know if he said picnic, but we're having this great food fixed on the 4th of July, man. He's good. I hope you and your family are having a good time and doing the same thing. So I write him back and, what am I going to say to Joey? I cannot tell this little man the truth. So I lied. So I'm here because this scripture in Ephesians 4 says, don't lie to your neighbor, but tell the truth. So Joey, I'm telling the truth now. Joey, I called him back. I said, hey, Joey. Oh man, great. I'm anticipating a great day of eating well today. Everything's fine. I forgot the 5 important words after that. Everything's fine, except I'm in the doghouse. I didn't let him know I was in the doghouse. So anyway, we have this exchange, and I say all is well, but all is not well. Pastor Tim Brazell is really still upset. But Jesus is the bread of life, and I'm wrestling constantly this whole time, even though the sun's gone down on my wrath, and I've lied now to my neighbor. What else does this scripture say? I can't read it with those glasses. Oh, he who steals must steal no longer. See, I stole the food in our house. I decided if they didn't not going to eat with me, then I'm going to eat all the rest of it up so they can't get any. I mean, can you see how everything I experienced right here? I literally, when I saw this and the Holy Spirit gave me insight, I said, this is everything that I did. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. I had unwholesome words. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Surely the Spirit was grieved that day. That's not the relationship that was given us in Christ from the Father and the Spirit. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you. I had all kinds of wrong and bad thoughts come in. But that day he's really working on me hard. So I decided at least can go upstairs and say hi. So somehow, I still don't know how I did it other than the Holy Spirit. I went up the steps, and Donna's there fixing, got everything laid out beautiful, and she's working on some fantastic lemonade she has. And I finally, it was hard to do it. I finally said, hello. And, oh, you know, I'm waiting because I don't know now. Now she might be mad. You know how it is. You get mad, and then they get mad, and then it really becomes a mess. But she said, you know, hello. It was really kind of a pleasant hello. I was like, whew, all right, we're going to make it somehow through this. So I taste a little something, and I go back downstairs because the feel still isn't fully right, but at least I know we're getting there. So all of a sudden, too much time goes by, and I don't hear the usual, hey, hun, come on up to eat. Hey, babe, food is ready. I don't hear that, and time has passed too long. So I just decide to go on up, and she's not there. So all the food is laid out. So I grab my food, and I say, okay, this tells me this thing still ain't good. She did not call me, and they ate on their own. Oh, Jesus, help me. I'm going to go off, Lord, please. Is this real enough for anybody today? This is how it works in a pastor's household anyway. All right. I don't know what yours is like. All right. So I go down and I eat my food, and now it's getting late. And I know now the Holy, he really has got me. I'm grieved now. And I got to thinking about it. At first, it may seem like it was bad for me to walk away from the family and avoid contact with them. But when I look back at it, now I can only see that, no, Jesus was the bread of life in me and perhaps in my family at that time because I could not handle it. Had I run into them before Jesus had sufficiently dealt with me and who I am in him, I would have just caused even more chaos and a nuclear bomb might have went off. So it really was good. I believe it was the Holy Spirit because only the Holy Spirit has the relational creativity to make sure people are together at the right time in the right way so that there's not further damage done. So this is, I'm just seeing, and then I look back, I'm like, man, he was the bread of life every step of the way, because I don't know how it is that we avoided a worse disaster than we had. So finally I decide, he's got me now, he's won. I'm going to go up, Holy Spirit, I'm going to go up with you, Jesus, and I'm going to apologize to my wife and daughter. So I'm bold now, I'm praying, and I'm bold. So I walk up the stairs bold, and I get halfway up, and have to go back down. Oh, help me, Jesus, I cannot. Oh, please, I almost made it. Give me some help. I know I can do this thing. I mean, I'm really, they're, he could convince me, at least in my mind, that they are his children, that they'll accept me, that they'll forgive me, that this ain't that bad. Tim, don't let this go on the second day into this kind of a thing. So he stirred me up again, and I prayed, and I got up, went up there, and I got to the top of the stairs this time and snuck back down one more time. Lord, help me. So finally, on the third try, I actually made it up into the kitchen. And instead of, there's Donna over to my left and Autumn's to my right on the computer. I get up there. I can't, for some reason, I can't do it. So I walk around into the living room and look at it. Then I walk around to where Donna's at and peer at the food. And I look at Autumn. And somehow, right in between Autumn and Donna, Jesus brings these words out of my lips. Girls, I'm really sorry about what I said the other day, that my reaction was not appropriate to what had been done. And then I'm waiting on the drum roll. You know what's going to happen now. You know what happens when you believe in Jesus and follow him. Everything works out perfect. Drum roll. I've said I'm sorry. Now they're going to say you're forgiven. I'm sorry. Nothing. To this day, nothing. But Jesus had done something. I walked back downstairs after saying that, silence in the air. But I knew everything was all right. Somehow he told me, look, I'm the bread of life. It's all right. Things are okay. I'm the real nourishment in this situation, and you have followed me appropriately, Timothy. And I went down into, and I really, man, I was freed. I was liberated. I was joyful. And I said, look, and he says in there, forgive even as you have been forgiven. And I got to thinking about, man, all the things Jesus has forgiven me of, and I can't forgive them even if they don't say I forgive you. Oh, no. And by this time, Jesus completely had me. And at the end of the story is our life was a lot better from that point on, even though they never did say you're forgiven. All right. I want you to, that's the point of today's message. We can get all stirred up like what we're going to do. Just give me a few scriptures and I'll obey you, Jesus. Yeah, just tell me what to do and I'll be the bread of life. I'll choose you and everything will be all right. But I'm opening up to you that no. Even if you would have done a lot better than me, and I hope you would and do, and you should. But the bottom line that what you carry into every action that you have, as long as you are sinful and on this side of the resurrection, is brokenness. Your best belief, your best faith, your best I forgive you is filled with something that stinks so badly that unless Jesus the Christ, the true bread of life, is standing in for you, you will not make it. Jesus is the bread of life. This is a declaration, not an invitation. Jesus is your nourishment, and he is the one keeping everything from falling to pieces in your family right now, including the dishes. The reason some dishes aren't getting broken in your house is because Jesus is standing in somehow, even despite your sin and your proclivity to do so. And you maybe saw your dad do so. Now you really have a reason to do. But for you, for some reason, you can't do it at that point. And maybe some of you throw dishes, but at least you're not doing what your family line does, and that's pick out a gun and shoot each other. I don't know. You can classify. This is not giving you any basic pattern. I'm just saying the fact that the whole world hasn't blown up by now with you in it is because Jesus is the bread of life and his flesh has been sent to take the place of our flesh and do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. It is not so much a matter of you believing in Jesus Christ because your belief won't cut it. It won't get the job done. Jesus believes in you. This is what he's saying. And if Jesus believes in you, then his Father is in you and the Holy Spirit is in you. And so you have help for every kind of situation in life. You see, this isn't in Ephesians, this isn't about some instructions we're supposed to follow. Most of those instructions Paul wrote to the churches of his day, they did not follow them. The problems continued. Now, you don't get that. You often don't hear that, but you need to hear that a little more. Most of the churches did not respond to him and be like they should, because that's not the point. The point is that despite you all and me being like not like we should, Jesus is the bread of our life, and we will make it because what he has given us is his flesh in our broken humanity, and he has substituted, and we will stand. We will fall and die, but it's in our deaths that we will live because Jesus is the resurrection. How many of you are getting the point today? All right. I offer up this good news to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, who not only love you more than they love themselves, but who also likes you. And I really do mean you very, very much.